Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning. Grateful. God is good all the time, and He loves us more than you can imagine. Our word for this morning is going to be coming out of the New Testament, out of the book of Mark. And I love the book of Mark because that is who I named my son after. And it's just amazing. Mark was awesome. The Apostle Mark, who wrote this book, was awesome. And my son is awesome, and I'm grateful for the gift from God. You know, we say it's in a name, and his name is Mark Daniel for a reason. One, it's family, but two, it's biblical, because even though we may go into our lion's dens in life, God is always with us. Even though we may go through our ups and downs in life, God is always with us. When someone says something is impossible, God says, not for me. God is good, and his mercy endures forever in all times. He loves us. And the word that God gave me this morning is coming out of Mark chapter 10. And it's just simple. It's working with me and on me to have faith. And faith is my mantra. I believe that faith is what God has given each of us. As we get into the book of Hebrews down the road, we're going to know what the word of God means when he talks about faith. That substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. God can and will do the impossible. All we have to do is believe. All we have to do is believe. I believe. Seen him work, hallelujah, as Anita Wilson sings in her song. I've seen him work. Jesus will. Yes, he will. And she says, because he said he will. We've got to believe. We've got to have faith. Mustard seed faith moves mountains. Just imagine, hallelujah, other seed faiths can do. Change the world. Keeping God first in all we do. Watch him work. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, I am just so filled up today, Lord, thinking about all the things I've seen you do in my life, the impossible that you have done in my life. And all I can say is thank you. Thank you for all that you've done for my family, all you've done for my church, done for my friends, all you've done for my prayer partners and those that I have come into acquaintance with. Lord, I've seen you work miracles. I've seen signs and wonders. I've seen the sky and the miracles in it. Lord, I am thankful for your grace and mercy toward us, Lord God, as a nation, as a planet, as a people. You have watched over us, Lord God, when we don't deserve it. You have taken us from the pit when we don't deserve it. You have done so many things for so many that do not deserve it. But, Lord, we know that our blessings are irrevocable. What you have for us is for us, and can't nobody take it. And can't nobody do us like Jesus. Father God, this morning I lift up all those that are hurting. I lift up the people in nations and in states and in countries that are dying at record rates from COVID and other illnesses because of the environment that they live in, because of bad management of their leaders. Lord, I pray for our nations today. For those that are listening from other countries, I pray for you. I pray for my country. I pray for the states that are without water, that are have nasty water because of environment that they're living in. Lord God, I am praying for a fresh wind and a mighty rain to cleanse us, oh God. But you are in charge, Lord, and you have shown so many times. You have shown us so many times that we cannot depend on man. We can only depend on you. Lord God, I lift up my hands in worship this morning, thanking you for my water, thanking you for the air that I breathe, thanking you for keeping us covered under the blood of Jesus, that not one member of my church body has gotten COVID, because we believe, we pray, and we trust in you. Those that are taking the vaccine, that they will be healed, because not from the vaccine, but healed because you are making it possible that the impossible was done quickly and in a hurry and safely. Lord, you are good and merciful. And I thank you, Lord, in advance that I will not be sick from the second vaccine that I must take, that I will be able to do my assignment on the next day, that I will not be all bent over sick like others have claimed to be. I am going to be okay because I trust in you and I have an assignment. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I lift up all our nations that they will be healed and COVID will no longer kill another 500,000 people in my nation, because we are going to trust in you. For what man says is impossible, Lord God, I know it's possible with you. I lift up the name of Jesus, thanking you, Lord, for your sacrifice of your son for us when you didn't have to do it, but you did. Father, let this word permeate the atmosphere. Let those that hear it believe and know that with you, again, Father, all things are possible. All they must do is believe. I believe, I have faith, and I know that I know things are working for the good of those that love and appreciate and believe and trust in you. Father God, I ask you to increase as I decrease, as the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. I ask you, Father, that they be acceptable in your sight as I read your word, teach your word, and believe your word. In Jesus' name, my Savior, I pray, lifting up all those that are listening now and listening later, that they will know that you, Lord God, make all things that are for our good possible. Amen. Giving honor to God. Woo! I'm excited, y'all. For those that are just joining this moving forward experience, we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year. I am coming out of New King James because I like New King James. I do read New King James, but I just happen to like New King James because it just makes it a little bit easier to understand. But you can follow what I'm reading in King James, and it it's all falling together is what I guess I want to say. So thank you, God, for this word. On Fridays, because I do not blog on Saturdays, it's my rest day, even though it normally is not, but it's a day I try to rest. At least I get to sleep in for an extra hour, I guess is what I want to say. But anyway, not digressing, but getting back on this, on point. Again, this show, we keep it very real. You know, there are times I make mistakes. Please forgive me if I don't pronounce the name quite right or the way you would pronounce it. I'm just going to do what God has called me to do, you know, but I love him, and I'm going to do it to the very best of my ability. And I love to read the word. I just love the Bible. I think it's history. And when you know his story, it becomes our story because it is the truth. And every day I get excited when I'm watching History Channel and they'll come up and they'll find something like the pillow of salt of Lot's wife. It's still there. They found it and they're looking all in astonishment and we're like, we told you. It's in the Word. So if you watch History Channel, they do usually have dealing with our history, the history of our faith and our belief. And they're finding historically everything that the Word of God is saying, they're finding it. But we already know it's real. We already know it's true. They're just catching up with us. So when you read this book, you read it as history. And then it starts to make a lot more sense. And you're like, wow, what happened? What's coming? It's all in the book. Hallelujah. Just read. And that's what we do. So thank you, God, for my assignment. But anyway, on Fridays, we either have a New Testament word or Old Testament word. So we cover Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Today, we're covering Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in our word for today. And we're going to be coming out of the book of Mark, our New Testament word that we'll cover today, Saturday, and Sunday. And then on Sunday, we will have our Old Testament word, which will also cover Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Now, if time permits today, we may do a psalm and a proverb for one of the days in case we don't have time on Sunday. Sundays, we sometimes go a little bit over, and sometimes on Friday as well, because we try to catch those 3 days that we would normally do as a day on Friday and Saturday. And so we do Saturday's word right into Friday and Sunday's word. So let's get started. We are in the book of Mark. We will be starting in Mark chapter 9 and going to Mark chapter 10 this morning. So let's get started. Get your word out. And let's go. And again, as I have said before, if there's anyone that is listening that would like to read, you are more than welcome to give me a call and say, hey, I'd like to read for you. I am fine with that because that's what we're doing. This is a family. This is a relationship. So anyone that would like to read any morning, let me know, hopefully a day before, so I can pray about it. Because the one thing we don't want to do is let anybody read and distort the word of God. Because the word is the word. And you have to have a heart open to receive whatever it is that God is giving us. And again, our word today, with God, nothing is impossible. So let's read it. Mark chapter 9. And he said to them, assuredly, I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining, exceedingly white like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. And Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. And a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. Suddenly when they had looked around, they saw no one anymore, but only Jesus with themselves, came down from the mountain. He commanded them that they should tell no one the things they had seen till the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept this word to themselves, questioning what the rising from the dead meant. And they asked him, saying, why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? Then he answered and told them, indeed, Elijah is coming first and restores all things. And now it is written concerning the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be treated with contempt. But I say to you that Elijah has also come, and they did to him whatever they wished, as it is written of him. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? Then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. He answered him and said, oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood, and often he has thrown himself both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible. To him who believes, can we say it together? If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people were came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Understand, there are some spirits that you cannot get rid of unless you fast and you pray. You can't just say, I rebuke, and then it's gone. No, you got to fast and you got to pray for that spirit to leave. To believe, first and foremost, you got to believe that nothing is impossible for God. And our life lessons for today's word is this, in chapter 9 of Mark. Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. How did Peter and the others instantly recognize Moses and Elijah, men they never met, who had died centuries before? In the Transfiguration, we get a brief foretaste of heaven and its wonders. Wow. They just knew. And I believe that when it comes, we're going to just know. We're just going to know who everyone is. We're going to know that's Peter. We're going to know that's John. We're going to know Jesus. We're going to know that's Elijah, that's Moses, that's Joshua. We're going to know who they are. Because if you read the word, they become family. They become a part of who you are. And you're just going to know that's Samuel. Hallelujah. You're just going to know that's Elijah. That's Elijah. Going to know. You're just going to know. Mark 9 and 10. They kept this word to themselves, questioning what the rising from the dead meant. Jesus sometimes did speak figuratively. John 2, 19 through 21. So perhaps we can sympathize with his failure to grasp the meaning. Mark 9, 32. The words of God are not always to understand. And that's why we have to pray every time we read this word, Lord, give me understanding. Give me discernment. Increases or decrease. Let the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. Let God know that he is your redeemer. He is your strength. He is your absolute everything. You cannot do anything without him. We must pray over the little things as we pray over the big things. When you wake up in the morning, Lord, I pray that I'm able to walk today. Lord, I pray I'm able to talk today. Lord, I pray that I'm in my right mind today. Lord, I pray that I get more accomplished today than I did yesterday. Lord, I pray that there will not be anyone hurt or killed today, that our children will be safe from those that would do them harm. Lord, I pray that all things that we think are impossible, that are possible with you. I believe, Lord God, that the sick will be healed and that there will be a cure for COVID. There will be a coronavirus. Because understand, the coronavirus is what causes the flu, what causes SARS, what causes MRSA, what causes so many things. It's the virus. It mutates into other things. Like ours is corona. But what did we have before? We've had SARS. We've had so many things. We've had Ebola. But God, prayer changes things. Prayer changes the trajectory of different things. We got to pray. And we got to, one, before prayer, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. We got to be like the father with the child. And the word that Dr. Stanley says is the Lord does not demand that we have mountains of faith before he acts on our belief. A little mustard seed of genuine faith is all he requires. Then he's what we lack. Hallelujah. And this is a life example from Dr. Stanley. No in between. He wanted to believe. Really, he did. After seeing his son suffer terribly, all this desperate father wanted was for his boy to be healed. Yet so many other things had failed. Even Jesus' own disciples could not rid his son of the demon that tormented him so cruelly. Could Jesus really heal the boy? Or would he be disappointed again? The father pleaded with Jesus, voicing the only hope he had left. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And we know he can do everything. Have you been there? You see no possible way out of your situation. You've tried everything, but it was all in vain. The issue continues to eat away at you, and you know that if you don't get help soon, it will destroy you. Your only hope is that Jesus will help you. However, after so many things have failed, you have a half-hearted faith that Jesus can really do anything for you. Like the father of Mark 9, you are trapped between belief and unbelief. Though you believe in Jesus for your salvation and you know that the miracles he did in the New Testament are real, it's a different story trusting him to deal with your problem. First, you must be questioning whether he will help you because you doubt you are worth helping. This is especially true when your situation is due to your own mistakes. Can I say amen on that one? Been there, done that, got the I messed up t-shirt. However, understand that Christ's love for you is unconditional. And he wants to help you, yet he also calls you to repent of your sins and obey him. Therefore, in order to receive Christ's aid, confess your sins to him and begin obeying him immediately. Second, you may be wondering if Jesus is able to deal with your modern-day problems. Assuredly, the God who created the universe can deal with any situation that arises in it. Jesus assures you, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believe, Mark 9:23, God can do it. Can you believe it? I believe it. I believe it. I've seen him work. I believe that all things are possible with God. I believe. Lord God, I believe. We got to have that I believe in our heart, in our spirit, in our mind. Yes, I'm filled up today. I believe. Hallelujah. And then Dr. Stanley says, friend, you may have to pray like that Father did. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. However, as he teaches you, be deliberate about relinquishing your doubts. Your willingness to trust him is key. Therefore, have faith that he will do the impossible in your situation and truly believe. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for this mighty word this morning. I believe. I'm saying it again. I believe. Hallelujah. Mark 9:30-50. Then they departed from there and passed through Galilee. And he did not want anyone to know it, for he taught his disciples and said to them, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And after he is killed, he will rise the third day. But they did not understand this saying and were afraid to ask him. Then he came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, what was it you disputed amongst yourselves on the road? But they kept silent. For on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all the servants of all, and the servant of all. Then he took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. Now John answered him, saying, teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow us. But Jesus said, do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon after he who is not against us is on our side. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. I'm not trying to go to hell. I hope y'all not either. And it goes on to tell us, and if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame rather than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good. Salt loses its flavor. How will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. And this is answers to life questions from Dr. Stanley. Who's first? What was it? A comedian said, who's on first? No. Who's on second? Who's on third? And that's something like that. No. Who's on first? Well, what's on second? Well, no, what's on third? You know, I don't know. I don't remember. It's one of them old Abbott and Costello comedy bits. But the bottom line is, who's first? And what did Jesus say? The first, he shall be last of all the and servant of all. If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all the servants of all. And this is what the word says that Dr. Stanley has written. He says, do you serve for the good of others? Or do you serve for yourself? Are you doing what you do because God assigned you the task? Come on now. Or are you doing it because it makes you look good? You better get it right, y'all. I'm going to read that again. Do you serve for the good of others? Or do you serve for yourself? Are you doing what you do because God assigned you the task? Or are you doing it because it makes you look good? This may seem a strange line of questions, but it's a subject that confronts every Christian at one point or another. Even the disciples struggle with their desire to be the greatest in the kingdom. Jesus was always quick to remind them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all the servants of and a servant of all. Mark 9:35. Unfortunately, we sometimes fall into the trap of thinking that we can measure the success of what we're doing the same way the world measures achievement. We mistakenly believe that if God receives glory from our service, then it should be glorious for us as well. Yet when we remember some of God's faithful servants from the Bible, we realize their situations were far from easy or glamorous. You better speak it. And this is some examples. God allowed Job to suffer the loss of his children, his health, and everything he owned. Job 1 and chapter 1. Chapter 2. God told Isaiah to be barefoot and naked for 3 years as a judgment against Egypt and Ethiopia. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 20, and we'll be seeing this. God commanded Ezekiel to lie on his side a day for every year of iniquity found in Israel and Judah, prepare his food using cow dung as fuel. Ezekiel chapter 4. I'm telling you, it was no joke. Now let's get down to it. Hosea. God instructed Hosea to marry a prostitute. Hosea chapter 1, verse 2. God sent his only son to die naked on the cross for our sins. Matthew chapter 27, Mark chapter 15, Luke chapter 23, and John chapter 19. Of course, most often, God will call us to do those mundane things that seem so unimportant that don't benefit us in any way. As Jesus said in Mark 9:41, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. These are the simple acts that show compassion toward other people and which display the character of Christ. They are not done for any personal gain. Rather, they are done out of an overflow of Christ's love in us. Friend, the reason you serve God is not for the sake of your name, reputation, or even your income. The reason you serve God is to be obedient to God, to show his love to Allah. So whenever you go to do something in his name, check your motives. Are you doing it for his kingdom or for yourself? Are you putting yourself first or last? Hallelujah. Dr. Stanley, one thing I will say about Dr. Stanley, when he teaches a word, he does not play. He says it very kindly, very softly, but he gets the point across and needs to come across that we are servants of God. We are not our own. We belong to him. And whatever we do our assignment. I can't go out and try to do somebody else's assignment. I can only do mine. My assignment is what I'm doing right now. My assignment is the ministries that I work in. Those are my assignments. And sometimes God will give you a hard look, and he will send somebody to speak with you to say, now listen, got to make some decisions. You cannot do everything. You cannot be everything to everybody. You can only do what God has assigned you to do. And whatever is your calling, God has called you to do, that's what you do. You help. Excuse me. But you do your assignment. We can't do everybody's work. And I realized I was working in a ministry. God called me to something else. I guess you say he took me through the fire and called me to something else. And it was hard. But I realized when I left, God sent more help. He sent others in to take over. Because sometimes you can do something and do it. And do it. That everybody else thinks, oh, they're getting it done. They don't need my help. When in fact, calling somebody else and you're blocking somebody's blessing because you're in an assignment that God has already moved you out of, but you're just holding on. You got to move when God says move, and you got to do what God says do, because you don't know that you may be blocking somebody else, their blessing and their assignment. So do your assignment. And when God asks you to help, you help. But sometimes, some things are not for you that you're trying to do, but you got to do what you're called to do, because God will open doors for many others to do other things. I am grateful for my assignments, and I will help anywhere I'm needed, but I know I have to do my assignments first, because that's what I'm called to do. Just throwing it out there. Mark chapter 10, verses 1 through 31. And this is where our word for today comes from. And it says this: then he arose from there and came to the region of Judea by the other side of the Jordan. And multitudes gathered to him again as he was accustomed. He taught them again. The Pharisees came and asked him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Testing him. And he answered and said to them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and to dismiss her. And Jesus answered and said to them, because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them man and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. In the house, his disciples asked him again about the same manner. So he said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if a woman divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. Then they brought little children to him that he might teach them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one. That is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were greatly astonished, saying amongst themselves, who then can be saved? And this is our word for today. Whew, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel, who shall not receive 100-fold. Now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. What a word. That's all I got to say. What a word this morning. And let's go to some life lessons. And this is the first life lesson from Dr. Stanley. Mark chapter 10, verse 5. Because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. God often acts in pragmatic ways toward us. He gives us a high standard to shoot for. But since he remembers that we are dust, Psalms 103:14, he also keeps our weaknesses in mind. Yet that is not an excuse. He always calls us to grow spiritually. But understand, you can't, when I believe, this isn't just me speaking, this is not what I'm reading, but this is me speaking. I believe that when you are unequally yoked, when you are married, not under God, but just married, so many young people I've seen married on lust, they don't even know each other, but they done slept together, they done made babies together, so they feel they need to get married. Because I'm just going to speak it. One of us ministers, us teachers, us preachers, us fivefold, make them feel guilty about shacking up because they shouldn't be shacking up. They shouldn't have been laying together, making babies, and not married. And not have a love relationship. You know, this man is beating her, the tar out of her and her children. But yes, she's staying with him, not married, unequally yoked. And then because somebody tells him, well, you know, maybe this is happening because you're not married, so they get married. And he's still beating the tar out of her and still treating her terribly because she's now going to church. She's now taking her children to church. She's now getting a word from God that what she's done is not right and it's not of God. And yet they're getting beat up. And she's like, Lord, why? Because you're not equally yoked. And then finally when she files that divorce, it's like a breath of fresh air comes through. Because when you marry for the wrong reasons, that's not God. God didn't join you together. God didn't join lust together with lust. God is a God of love and goodness and kindness and all those things. And we got to know each other. You know, I have to say, my husband and I, you know, my late husband, we knew each other 6 years, 7 years, something like that, before we got married. And it wasn't no fooling around going on. He was my friend. He was my friend. Till the day he died, he was my friend. And that's what we need, to have friendship before you have relationship. And you need to be married before you start moving and doing the things that people do. Because a lust relationship is not going to be a relationship that stands the test of time. It's not. When we try to do our own thing, it's not going to stand the test of time. Because the word of God says the two become one flesh. But you can't become one flesh with something that's not compatible. That's like if you get a transplant and that if a kidney transplant and that kidney is not compatible to you, you're not going to be able to keep it because you're not compatible. That's just like in marriage. If you're not compatible, if you don't have a joining by God, you are unequal and it's not going to last. Jealousies and envies and all the things that are worldly come into play. Husbands, love your wives. We got to do that. Wives, love your husbands. Parents, I'm saying parents, don't provoke your children. We got to treat each other the way we want to be treated. And as Dr. Stanley continues, he says this, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. Jesus did not contradict the man's description of him as good. Jesus merely asked him why he used the term as God in the flesh. Jesus was truly good, but he wanted the man to see it for himself. None of us are perfect because we're not God. We are just his children. We're trying to make it in because I'm telling you, I don't want to go to hell. I don't like it too hot, and I definitely don't like it too cold. But I know that heaven is just right. And we got to strive to get there. Hallelujah. We got to strive to get there. A word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, for this morning is this. Good morning. When you wake, come on, y'all. Every time. This was written at 6:57 this morning. And it says this, good morning. When you wait on the Lord, it will be worth what he has planned for your life. Have a fantastic Friday. When you wait on the Lord, it will be worth what he has planned for your life. Again, nothing is impossible for God. All we got to do is wait on the Lord. Don't think that your prayers are not going to be answered. As long as you don't pray amiss, God will hear you. He will hear you. He will answer you. He will know. He already knows what you need. Hallelujah. If there's a word that anyone has this morning, please push the number one or push your social media talk button and your line will be open. We are going to go on to our Psalms word for today. And Psalms for today is this, from Psalms chapter 31, verses 1 through 5. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Come on now. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. But my rock of be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me. For you are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. The word life lessons for that word is this. Psalms 31:3, you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, we already know David knew Jesus. Hallelujah. David knew Jesus. Lead me and guide me. When we place our trust in God through Christ, he becomes our stronghold and identifies us with him forever. Our destiny is bound up with his future. This is why we can confidently ask for his guidance. Who do we ask for guidance? We ask God for guidance. We ask the Father through the Son for guidance. Verses 6 through 10 of, I have hated those who regard useless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, for you have considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversities. You have not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a wide place. Hallelujah. You have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eyes waste away with grief. Yes, my soul and my body. Been there. Had that. For my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity and my bones waste away. We got to let things go. It's hard, especially for those that are bereaved. It is hard, but we got to let it go because you don't want to go into the pit. You don't want to go into the ground, not understanding that God always has had you covered. I had to come to that realization that God always, enemy was trying to take me out with that grief. Ooh, Lord. Because, again, when you lose your friend, it's hard. But we got to understand that we have a friend closer than a brother, and that is Jesus. When you have Jesus, you can let go and let God. As the song says, as soon as I start worrying about how things might have been, when I let go and I let God have his way. Hallelujah. Psalms 31, verses 11 through 18. I am a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and am repulsive to my acquaintances. Those who see me outside flee from me. I am forgotten like a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I hear the slander of many. Fear is on every side while they take counsel together against me. They scheme to take away my life. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. Do not let me be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Let the lion lips be put to silence, which speak insolent things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Psalms 31 and 15, life lesson. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies. The hands of men can oppose us and harass us. But as children of a sovereign God, we are never victims of our circumstances. The hands that really matter belong to God. Hallelujah. And as we said this morning, open it up. What? Nothing is impossible for God. Ooh, God is good and his mercy endures forever and all times. For with God, all things are possible. Say it with me, family. With God, for with God, all things are possible. When we pray our prayers, Lord God, I know with you all things are possible. Lord, I know that all my bills will be paid because all things are possible because I pay my tithes. I give my offering. I do what you ask me to do. And I know, God, for with you, God, all things are possible. We got to unbelief. And I'm not just speaking to you. I'm speaking to me too. We got to quench unbelief, knowing that with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. I told y'all this morning it was a rich word. And then Sister Carolyn came in and put icing on the cake. We have had a good meal this morning. We have had breakfast. We have had lunch. And we have had dinner. And Sister Carolyn brought the dessert. Hallelujah. Thanking God this morning for his wonderful, wonderful word. And I have a proverb word as well this morning. And our proverb word is coming out of Proverbs 11:4-6. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the unfaithful will be caught by their lust. Wow. I do believe the Lord God is looking down today and seeing all the craziness that's happening in our world. And it goes on to say, when a wicked man dies, his expectations will perish, and the hope of the unjust perishes. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge the righteous will be delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices, and when the wicked perish, there is jubilation. By the blessings of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. You know what? Folks that are just wicked, they can't keep their mouth shut. They always got to have something to say about everybody when they are the ones that's doing wrong. But we just pray for them, and you keep it moving. Don't get caught up in the gossipy, talking about everybody's stuff. Just keep it moving. Because understand, in all things, God is in charge. God is in charge. Our Savior is in charge. The Holy Spirit will give you discernment to understand and see that everybody that smiles in your face is not your friend. You know, and as I say, all skin folks ain't kin folks. Everybody who talks about that say they love Jesus don't even know him. But they want to whoop and holler and scream and say it, but then walk right out the church pulling out their cigarette out of their purse as they getting in their car, cussing out their kids. As they're getting in the car, talking about Sister Susie, because she had her slip was showing. And instead of telling Sister Susie her slip was showing, you're talking about her like a dog. Understand, everything has a purpose and a reason, but God is always in charge. Proverbs 11:12-14. He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. And that is our lesson for today. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other, in the precious and holy name of our Savior Christ Jesus. I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day, family, for the Lord God is in charge. And remember, as you go through your weekend, then the devil will put a stumbling block. But with God, he will give you the, as they say, spring in your step to step over it. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. And remember, as Sister Carolyn said this morning, when you wait on the Lord, it will be worth what he has planned for your life. Have a fantastic Friday, family. As we say on Moving Forward, what? It is a wrap. Have a blessed day, family. Again, for with God, all things are possible. Be blessed. It's time to what? It's time to go to work. You got an assignment? Go do it. Have a blessed day. It's a wrap.